Hello, and welcome to Millie Amped Up. My name is JL, and this is my friend.
Hello, hello. My name is Isaac Ntuvuga.
So, here we're going to just kind of... It's a tech podcast, but I think the biggest difference is that a lot of tech podcasts, one thing that I get frustrated with is that almost universally, they are fully bought into the Apple ecosystem. Because if you're a tech person who's doing podcasts now, you are probably a tech person back when the iPhone came out. And if you're a tech person then you bought into the ecosystem then. And it's really hard to switch out of it.
And it's also what the consumers want to see. So in a way, tech podcasts want to cover the topics that are most relevant to consumers. But we want to be a little different from that. We want to cover technology as a whole. Technology as it's being pushed forward. And that's what we'll be covering in this podcast.
So that's not to say we'll ignore Apple, because, of course, Apple still comes out with incredible products.
They do innovate. They're definitely they definitely have a foothold in the industry, and they definitely do push boundaries forward. But we want to see the more interesting aspects of the technology that's being put out today.
Especially for someone like myself who, I mean, most of the software I use almost exclusively is completely free. I try and do as much open source as I can. So I think that's useful, because it's frustrating when you listen to a podcast talk about an application, like, for example, Overcast. I have a hard time finding a good podcasting application, and I heard about Overcast, and I was like, that sounds incredible. But of course, it's iOS only.
Right, and iOS seems to have, because of the foothold they have in the industry, they tend to get more development in terms of applications as well. Developers want to produce for Apple because they have a larger market share, essentially. But we want to review and cover all the applications that we can find, all the technology that we can find that is not proprietary to Apple, first of all, but is just as good in quality and ability. So that's what we'll cover.
And to get started, we're just going to talk a little bit about our phones.
Cell phones. Can you believe how far we've come with cell phones? Just think about, what, 8 years ago? 8 years ago, I was using a wonky Samsung phone with a capacitive touchscreen and a slide-out keyboard. I thought that was the coolest thing ever. Now we have fingerprint scanners under screens.
I had one of those Motorola flip phones. I remember going to the store, and my mom's like, pick out the one you want. And I picked out the pink one.
Nice.
And everyone's like, is that your mom's phone or your sister's phone? I was like, no, this is mine.
This is my phone.
This is my phone.
Classic. Oh, you can cut that out because you wanted to stay anonymous.
That's all right. Okay, so do you want me to start us off?
Yeah, go right ahead.
So just a little preliminary, some of the specs for the next bit. I use a next bit Robin largely because back when the company first launched, I believe it was 2015, they had this huge sale. So I got mine for like maybe $90. And it's definitely a smartphone that's worth more than that. The battery capacity is 2,680 milliamps. It has a 5.2-inch screen. The resolution is 1080 by 920 pixels. A 2 gigahertz hexa-core for the processor. The processor make is a Qualcomm Snapdragon 808. 3 gigabytes of RAM, 32 gigabytes of internal storage, 13 megapixel camera on the front, dual LED rear flash, and 5 megapixel camera on the front, 13 on the back. So now that that's out of the way, my experience with it has generally been positive. So for those of you who are unfamiliar, the Nexbit Robin was branded as the 100 gigabyte smartphone, the smartphone where you would never run out of data storage.
Really? Is that what it was marketed as?
Because, yeah, it was marketed that way because
of the cloud storage.
So essentially, like, it would go through your phone and any apps that you hadn't used for like 2 weeks, I think, it would send it to the cloud, but it would still be on your phone. It would just be grayed out, and then you can click it and it would download to your phone. Now, that being said, the cloud storage is being shut down currently.
Why is that?
So the company hasn't given a huge reason. I mean, a lot of people speculate that it's just a decline of the Nexbit company.
That's what I was thinking. Because Nexbit, I remember when Nexbit came out. I remember when the Robin came out. There was a lot of hype around it, you know. But I just haven't heard or seen anything from them in recent months.
They say they're working on the new Razer phone. So
Razer as in the computer company Razer?
Mm-hmm.
Nexbit works with Razer? Are they a partner company?
I'm not sure how that relationship works, but yeah, the Nexbit staff said that they were shutting down the cloud services in part to focus on the Razer phone.
Huh, interesting. So, I never knew there was a connection there.
I was reading, I was like, what? Okay.
The Razer phone's really cool. I love the Razer phone.
I mean, arguably, it's the best phone for
gaming. The
two
that just came out, yeah. The speakers blow me away, first of all, and that's not something people don't really think about very often when talking about phones, is speakers. But what blows me away even more is the 120 megahertz refresh rate.
That is pretty insane. Well, right? And I think the speakers are super intelligent because we've got this whole bezel-less race going on.
Right.
And the next bit does it, too. The next bit has a pretty big bezel at the top and at the bottom.
Yeah.
And the next bit, I feel like, utilizes it pretty well with speakers, but the Razer phone takes that to the next
to
level.
They're like,
you know what, we're not getting rid of the bezels,
but
we're
going to
put in big speakers.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I think that's really smart. And I kind of like that some companies decide to go the opposite way. You know, I really hate this trend where Apple or Samsung or one of the big three companies, Huawei, they come out with a phone, they introduce a new design language, design software, and then everyone else copies it. I mean, for example, the notch is one of the most infuriating things in my opinion.
I think it's so ugly.
It's such an ugly thing, and everyone copied it because Apple started. I was just like, okay, I understand that we're trying to push the boundaries on what a bezel-less phone looks like, but I feel like there can be some sort of creativity on the part of other companies, you know? Yeah. If this was the solution Apple came up with, did you guys have that solution as well the whole time, or did you implement it only after Apple implemented it and was successful with it? So that really confuses me sometimes, you know?
Which, I mean, that's one of the reasons I'm a big fan of Samsung.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, they'll just throw spaghetti at the wall.
Samsung can really do that. Yeah. They're kind of expected to do that in a way, especially when it comes to screens and design and specs of screens in general. They're kind of like the screen company, you know?
I watched a video and somebody put a Samsung Tab 4 next to the new iPad Pro.
Uh-huh.
And I was like, oh, there's no competition
there's
here.
There's no competition, yeah. Like, it really, they're in a league of their own, and that kind of allows them to innovate at a rapid pace, essentially, you know? Having the market share they do worldwide, having the money and an ability to, essentially, they can really just get a group and set them aside solely to focus on innovating something new in terms of technology. So as I mentioned to you earlier, foldable screens, they're at the forefront of that as well. But if you remember, and as we were talking a couple days ago about the edge displays, you know,
remember the
first edge they put out? Oh, everyone was like, that's disgusting.
It was ugly. Yeah. I mean, they just
why would you bend a screen on one side, you know? But that's how they work. It's a process. Now, what, 3-4 years after that first phone came out, they have almost perfected the bezel-less display, the edge-to-edge display.
It's
It's a beautiful screen to look at, first of all. They have the display technology with their Super AMOLED, which they essentially created. You know, Samsung essentially created the AMOLED display way back when. You know, they've always been kind of ahead, that's why. But that's how it works. And I think it's a similar thing with the folding display. It's going to start with something really ugly and obtuse, and then years down the road, we're going to have phones that can turn into tablets, you know? And I think that's very exciting.
And it's like the display, I was watching it. It looked cool, but then if you turn the lights on and you watch the, like, practice display, it looks much less cool. So real quick, going back to the next bit, what is your opinion on them shutting down the cloud storage after that being the main selling point?
I think that's kind of running backwards in a way. That's kind of backtracking, in my opinion. I mean, cloud storage on a phone has always been a plus side. I mean, almost everyone's doing it now. First phone I can really think of that did it was the Google Nexus phones. Remember with Google Cloud? Google Cloud was huge. Storing photos on your Google Cloud essentially was a big part of it. And even now, I forgot to mention what phone I'm currently using. I'm currently using a 2-year-old Google Pixel XL, the first generation. That kind of goes to attest to kind of the development they put into this phone. It kind of shows there's been always a difference between Android and Apple. And a lot of people tend to go to Apple because of the ecosystem, the reliability, and the lack of fragmentation, essentially. Android has always had that problem, being an open source software, being an open source operating system. All the companies, essentially, all the OEM manufacturers, have free will, essentially, to create whatever kind of user interface they want, to update the interface and the software whenever they want, and And yeah, so that has led to what they call fragmentation. Fragmentation being the difference in phones and what softwares and what versions of softwares they have currently running on them. But as I was saying, to go back to my point, I sometimes go on tangents, forgive me. You will realize this as you hear me more and more on this podcast. But to go back to the phone I'm currently using, it's called the Google Pixel XL. It's kind of an Apple situation in the Android world. Google creates Android. They have been the creators of Android for a long time, but now they created their own hardware. The hardware was developed and made by HTC, but they had a very big stake in how it was designed and what would go into it. So having these two things connected, software and hardware, it allows for them to have a fluid software development. No lagging, no fragmentation, essentially, with their Pixel phones. If you knew about Nexus, not many people know about Nexus. It's mostly us nerds who know about Nexus back in the day. But it's a similar thing, only this time Google's doing the hardware as well. And what that allows for is a two-year-old phone that performs fluidly, essentially. No kind of, what's it called, that period of time that you can use a phone? There's a phrase for it. Life cycle.
Life cycle, yeah.
The life cycle of a phone is elongated because the two are working together. So that's the phone I'm using. I enjoy it very much. It's an incredible phone. We can go through specs right now so you can kind of see how it's still working 2 years after it came out. It was launched October 2016, so almost exactly 2 years ago. It has a 5.5-inch AMOLED display, 2K display, which was pretty good for 2016. 1440 by 2560 pixels. Multi-touch Gorilla Glass display. When it came out, it was running Android 7.1, but due to the fluidity of updates through Google, I'm still updating this phone currently on Android 9.0, which several of the newest Samsung phones even don't have. So that's a really good thing to have about having a Google Pixel. It came out with the Snapdragon A21. We're now in the 845. I'm surprised it's still going pretty well. It had, how much RAM did it have? It had 4 gigs of RAM, so about standard, essentially, to what everyone else is still putting out to this day.
I mean, there's the Tab 4, the newest Samsung tablet, has 4 gigabytes of RAM.
Yeah, the newest iPhone XS has 4 gigs of RAM, you know? So I think that's actually one of the reasons this phone is still chugging, you know? It really had the processing power to do it.
Well, and like the combination of hardware and software was, I think it was something, it was built in a way for those two things to be as good as possible.
Mm-hmm.
Because, I mean, you could argue it's not the best hardware.
Right. You can argue that. It's not pretty. It's not beautiful. I mean, it's not as capable, let's say, as the new phones with dual cameras and optical image stabilization, which actually does have.
Which, with one camera lens, it's crazy.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, and then the Samsung phones, they have two cameras on the back, better cameras. But it doesn't have the same software. It doesn't have the optical stabilization.
It doesn't have the optimization of software. You know, Google is a software company first, and I said this the other day. I think that's why they're thinking about this differently. They're not kind of cornholed to develop based on hardware because they're innovating so quickly with software and the algorithms that they use for even image processing, you know? And to stay on the whole software track that Google has, even their AI and voice assist, you know?
Oh, man.
Way ahead of everyone.
Google,
you know?
Duplex is, it's almost eerie.
Yeah, it really is a little eerie. And you'll hear this in conversations about AI, you know? Google kind of is at the forefront with DeepMind. And a lot of people don't even know what DeepMind is. But things are getting crazy, that's for sure. That's what happens when data is used.
So I think you talked a little bit about, you're still satisfied because Google built the phone to last.
Essentially.
And
they didn't build it, so you have to buy another one.
I think
that's smart.
I think I would be happier with my phone. I'm not complaining, because I got it for $90, and it's definitely a much higher value than that.
Yeah.
But the fact that the smart storage is being shut down, personally, it's funny, because I have the phone for about 4 years now,
mm-hmm.
and I want to say the first, like, 3.5, I didn't know the phone had smart storage.
That's pretty funny.
Because I used to game on my phone a lot and take up all of the memory, but I haven't in recent years, so I never hit that 32 gigabyte limit. I actually recently hit it like a month ago.
That's the cloud storage limit, was 32 gigabytes?
Well, that's the onboard storage.
Oh, onboard storage limit. Yeah. I was like, it's a little low for cloud storage.
But So, and then when I went to go try it, it's like, it's being shut down, go to Nextbit. Uh-huh. And that makes me, even though I don't use it, it makes me lose confidence in the phone overall. Because mm-hmm. it's like, all right, we're going to kind of not really worry about this phone anymore. Uh-huh. The phone's kind of dying. And also, I'm not satisfied with it anymore because my daily use for the majority, like the battery was fine. I would go mm-hmm. through the whole day, have enough battery, and I would just have to charge it at night. Mm-hmm. But of course, you have the Bluetooth revolution with headphones, and now everything's wireless. You can't have wireless. Mm-hmm. And I have my Bluetooth headphones that I'll wear 4 or 5 hours at a time.
It has Bluetooth, doesn't it?
Well, it has Bluetooth, but
it's just older Bluetooth.
It drains the battery. So now yes. I can't make it through a full day, and I have to charge my phone when I'm sitting there at lunch.
Right.
And I also have my Aura Ring, which we could do a whole episode just on the Aura Ring.
We're going to have to talk about fancy gadgets in another episode. Yeah. We could go on for a while.
I mean, a decent portion of the day, I have 2 Bluetooth devices connected. Mm-hmm. I always have at least 1 Bluetooth device connected mm-hmm. pretty much at all times. And, I mean, yeah, that makes the battery, instead of getting 8 hours of use or 10 hours of use, I'll get 4 or 5.
And that's disappointing. Mm-hmm. You said it has a 2,200 milliamp hour battery?
Yeah.
So that's about half of what's normal now, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, 4,000 I think is pretty standard.
4,000 is about standard, I'm pretty sure. No, that's a very good point you make. Battery usage, especially with Androids, is a little finicky.
It's, again, I think it was a phone designed before Apple came out with their headphone jackless phone, which I still think is dumb.
I think it's dumb, but you can't deny the future. If you're an audiophile, you hate it. If you just use headphones to listen and just get by, you get by. It makes it a little bit easier because you don't have wires. But you just think about it. You have to charge headphones now. It adds another kind of aspect of maintenance, essentially.
And also, the Apple AirPods are so ugly.
Yeah.
they're the ugly. I feel it's one of those things. Apple does this thing every now and then that I really dislike, where they make you a walking advertisement.
Uh-huh.
So the Apple AirPods are designed to stick out a lot. And so you see them right away and you know, like,
you notice them right away.
Same thing with the Apple Pencil.
Yeah.
They only sell it in this like bright white.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, can I just get like a black one?
You have to get like skins, you know?
Yeah.
But that's what Apple does well.
Well, and Tim Cook especially.
Yeah,
has a war on ergonomics.
Really?
It's just like give the pencil. That's another thing we could talk about.
Brand recognition. Apple. Everyone knows Apple. It's kind of like Nike and Coca-Cola. Big companies really want you to recognize their products immediately.
Well, and they're the best at it by far. I mean, even we can talk about other companies surpassing them with software and mm-hmm, hardware, mm-hmm. but even Google
sales.
Like, yeah,
that's just a different story.
Like the Google keynote.
Yeah.
If you look at the Google keynote, the Apple keynote, if you like somebody who didn't know anything and you just turned off the volume, mm-hmm. you would see they look incredibly similar.
Yeah. Yeah.
The Google keynote's following like the same recipe for like WWDC.
Yeah. IO. I want to go to those one time. You want to go with me?
I would be 100%.
I love just seeing brand new software, maybe even Mobile World Congress.
Oh, man, especially, like, when Siri Shortcuts was announced, that room mm-hmm. had to have been insane.
That must have been just, like, going crazy.
Because I think for a while I was fully satisfied with everything in Android and, mm-hmm. like, the whole Android system. Mm-hmm. But now having Siri Shortcuts, it's like, oh, man, now that's something that really makes me wish I had iOS. For anyone who doesn't know, Siri Shortcuts, it's essentially, if you've ever used like Workflow or IFTTT, it's like that, but integrated into iOS. So like any app can talk to any other app. I mean, that's an incredible, like,
for professionals, it's almost like a necessity, you know? Like that's one thing that's, I've been a Apple hater since almost day one. I mean, the last iPhone I had was an iPhone 3GS, if you think about that. It's a long time ago.
That is a long time ago.
And I was just like, Apple sucks. They're not innovating, especially on software. I remember I was 12, maybe 13 years old, and I was hacking my iPhone, jailbreaking it so that I'd make it look like an Android. Give it widgets, giving it a slide down, drop down, you know, giving it all these different features that Android has always had, essentially. And now Apple's getting there, which makes me think twice about if I want to stay with Android or if I want to sell out and go to Apple for the ease of use in the ecosystem. You know, it's a difficult argument.
You have the iPad now.
So I have an iPad. I have a MacBook Pro. Like, I'm already halfway into the ecosystem.
Because yeah, you're.
I just refuse to get the phone.
You edit videos and stuff. I mean, you can't beat Final Cut Pro.
You cannot. I mean, of course, there's Adobe Premiere. It's a little bit harder to use. But Final Cut is just so fluid. It's so simple. It's so integrated. It's so, I don't know, useful.
Well, and I think Apple, a lot of the times, they have this attitude where it's like, oh, our products are for artists. And
That's kind of a stigma that surrounds Apple. I mean, creatives use Apple.
They're like, we design things for artists. There is, I feel like, a degree of pretentiousness to it. But, I mean, there's a lot of truth to it as well. Like,
pretentious could be a one-word description of Apple, in a sense, if you think about it. I mean, Apple is the first $1 trillion valued company, so they know they have a lot of money, first of all.
I call out Apple on the pretentiousness, but I think in recent years we've seen a change. Mm-hmm. So, for example, like with the MacBook Pros, mm-hmm. they've started announcing them way ahead of time. They've started giving a roadmap of what's to come, which that is not something Apple does.
They never used to do that.
They were 100% like, surprise.
Here's like, a new product. Buy it.
But I think, I mean, they're starting to realize, like, the people who are buying MacBook Pros, they're going to buy the MacBook Pro because they're professionals who use a MacBook Pro.
Exactly.
They're not going to surprise release a MacBook Pro and then somebody is going to go, oh, that looks so cool. I'm going to go
buy
it right away.
You buy a MacBook Pro because you've been using a MacBook Pro. Same with the Mac Pro, same with the iMac Pro, you know, like, professionals essentially use these devices, and they're spec'd out accordingly. The only thing that disappoints me about their new professional devices is their focus on making everything proprietary and therefore forcing you to buy everything Apple. Apple has done this a lot, and they do this very well. I mean, think about the Lightning cable. All Android phones use micro USBs, you know, like
One other thing I forgot to mention real quick with the Nextbit Robin. A huge plus is that it does use USB Type-C, and I refuse to use anything other than USB Type-C.
Did you see that? Okay, this surprised me. On the topic of Apple, Apple loves proprietary stuff. They released a new iPad Pro with USB Type-C. That blew my mind.
That's insane. I didn't realize that.
That blew my mind.
Well, and I think, again, we're seeing a change.
And the MacBook Pros, MacBooks, all USB Type-C right now.
They also went with, for the wireless charging, they went with the open source one.
Yeah, the Qi wireless charging.
So that way everyone can use it.
You can use whatever wireless charging pad you want.
So, I mean, that is the biggest upside of Apple. Is there? Yeah. They'll say, you know what, I think this thing should exist, so I'm going to do this. Mm-hmm. Everyone should use Bluetooth headphones, so mm-hmm. everyone's going to use Bluetooth headphones.
Right.
But, I mean, the downside then is there's one of the reasons I'm an Android user is I don't like that relationship of, oh, I know, Apple knows best. I've
never had that train of thought. Yeah. I've never had that thought process. I never thought Apple did everything best. I thought the one thing they do best is selling, marketing.
Well, I don't mean they do best, but like, they're like, we think you should use our device this way, so we're going to make it to where you have to use the device this way.
Yeah, yeah. Let's talk about some new phones that are coming out.
Okay, so
what are you interested in? What is intriguing you?
In the ideal world, I'm a big phone person.
Mm-hmm.
And I think right now, if you're a big phone person, you can't beat the Samsung Note 9.
You cannot, in terms of just pure ability, in a way.
And also, I've seen quite a few reviews for it, and something, again, that irritates me, this is really nitpicky, but in probably, like, most of the reviews that I've seen, they'll talk about the S Pen,
mm-hmm.
and it'll be a 2 or 3 sentence thing, like, oh, I didn't really use it, so it doesn't make a difference to me. It's like, well,
get the Note 9. Yeah, that doesn't make any sense.
Feature. Yeah, like
that's a productivity workhorse. That's what the Note 9 came out for.
I mean, if you're going to do a review on it, at least, like, try. Especially, the Note 9 has some buttons built into the S Pen, and you can do some pretty cool stuff. The only one I remember off the top of my head is control the camera.
Uh-huh.
So, like, you set it up
hit it. Yeah, that's really cool. Okay, so on this Note 9 subject, I had the Note 5, so maybe 3-4 years ago. And even back then, that phone was really at the top of everything. The Note phone has been the most powerful, capable phone since it came out, since its inception. And the Samsung S Pen is a game changer for productivity. I mean, I remember the Note came out and it was the first phablet. Do you still remember that term?
I don't remember that term.
Phablet. It was the phone tablet. And it only had a 5.5-inch screen. That's how long ago that was.
That's insane. That's what my phone
has. And people were like, this is massive. This is huge. But
I do remember that conference because everyone was like, these phones are ridiculous.
Yeah, how can you even carry this around? Now we have an iPhone, which back in the day had a 3.5-inch screen, and they said they would never change. They have a 6.2-inch screen now.
Well, I mean, and that's another thing that surprised me is how old the Apple design was for a long time.
It was. They refused to change for years until the iPhone 5, bro.
And, I mean, even then, they had big bezels.
Yeah.
Which everyone was trying to get rid of. But the, okay, going back to the note, another thing about the S Pen that is game changes, not only productivity, which, like, for example, with this podcast, I was thinking of different names, and I'd pull out my phone and write it down. But right now,
notes?
I've got to, like, open it up, open the app, click on where I want to make the note. It's just...
With the Note 9, you just pull out the S Pen, tap the screen. The screen can be off. But if you pull out the S Pen and tap the screen, you're immediately taking a note. And just think about that.
Yeah, it's like... I mean, it's like a two-second difference, but... That kind of difference
can help the train of thought, can keep you focused. Like, it's... There's a lot of different...
It's all about convenience. Like, I will pay $50 for 2 seconds more of convenience. Like, you know? And another thing that's game-changing about the S Pen, this is actually the point I was going to make, but then I got sidetracked, is if you have any sort of repetitive strain injury, using the S Pen instead of your fingers to manipulate the screen will almost completely absolve that.
Really?
Because... it's super, I mean, I've always been super aware of RSI, not because I've ever had any experience with it, but I'm just really paranoid about it, so I'd never text with my thumbs. I'll always hold it in one hand and, like, use the swipe texting, because I don't ever want to have any sort of RSI, but if you have the pen, then that's a much more ergonomic position. It's much better for your hands, because it's not good to, like, hover your fingers over the screen, and also, like... I can type so fast with swipe.
Really?
Yeah.
Actually, that's one thing that is hilarious. So, swipe, really old Android feature. I remember it came out back in 2011, 2012 with SwiftKey. Do you remember the app SwiftKey?
I do. I remember SwiftKey. Yeah. I downloaded it as soon as it came out.
I downloaded SwiftKey and I loved using it. So I'm used to it now. And then Google finally released their own version of a Google keyboard that had it integrated into it. And then Apple had it for a while too, but not many people used it. But when people see me using swipe, they're like, what is that? Sorcery? What are you doing on your phone? Well, and I can do so many things while using swipe because I don't have to think about it. I just go like this, you know? Yeah.
Well, Google's version too, like,
it's beautiful.
You can
things ahead of you.
They're incredible.
AI, bro.
Like, yeah, the AI is incredible. You can. There'll be times when, like, midway through the word, I'm like, oh, I want to type a different word, but I'll just keep going, and it'll get the word.
It'll get the word. Like, we're gonna have to have a whole podcast on Google at some point.
Talk through everything, just like a Google software.
Yeah, because they're really innovating, and they always have. You know, they're an old company. They're kind of at the head of the internet. If you think about the internet, you also think about Google. Almost synonymous, you know?
Yeah. And
AI, guys. AI is all I have to say.
I mean, well, every presentation of every app, every phone, they're like, oh, uses machine learning and AI.
Yeah, they're definitely developing really hard. Like, I'm sure they're... Oh, what did you think about AI-powered drones and all the employees freaking out and boycotting Google because they were working on creating AI-powered drones for the military?
I've got a lot of feelings about drones in the military, and they're not good.
No, they're not. They're not good. I was like, that's how I would react if my company... Do you remember that Google slogan is, do no evil?
I did not know that was Google's slogan.
Yeah, it's always been their slogan since the inception of the company, and they recently removed that.
That's just super ominous, right?
They recently removed that, so I was like,
maybe we need to do a little evil.
And they were like, we're just trying to rebrand. We're just trying to. But I'm like, no, you're definitely going somewhere that contradicts your slogan, so you don't want to contradict yourself.
Don't want people calling. And that's another thing too. Like, there are people who are loyal to a corporation, which to me is ludicrous because, like, it's a corporation ultimately. Right. And, like, you can't have, like, a massive corporation without being a little sinister.
Especially a corporation as big as Google.
Yeah. I mean, after, like, yeah.
The amounts of data they have on a lot of people in the world, I'm sure they were just like, there's so much we could do with this.
Oh, man. Just Thank goodness they're not like Facebook with our data.
Facebook is crazy. Facebook will do anything to get money, and I think that's very sinister.
Have you seen, oh yeah, like their whole video.
The newest No Moral story?
I was going to say their office, but like,
oh yeah,
the, because their office is, well, okay, we'll talk about the No Moral story, but I just want to, their office is like an exact representation of their like whole philosophy.
Really?
Because it's all, it's like open spaces everywhere in the workspace. Mm-hmm. And then Mark Zuckerberg's office is a giant glass cube.
Really?
Because he's like, I want everyone to be able to see everything. Uh-huh. I want it to be completely open.
Uh-huh.
And I'm like, I don't know. I don't fully buy that. Like, what if you're like having a meeting with somebody and like an intense argument with like other CEOs, like
mm-hmm.
your employees are just going to sit there and like watch you
yell at people.
So there's probably, I feel like there's a secret bunker somewhere.
No, I think there is too. I mean, the whole Britannia scandal's kind of,
you want to go into the Britannia scandal?
They sold our data. They sold our data to this huge company that used it to profile people in certain regions so that elections would go a certain way. So, I mean,
it's also like, it's hard for me off the top of my head to think of a more sinister use for the data.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
Real quick, before we go too far down this rabbit hole, if you had any amount of, like, if you could just go and get any smartphone, mm-hmm. what smartphone would you get right now?
OnePlus 6T.
OnePlus 6T.
Have you heard? Okay, so it has been a long time, and I'm a huge nerd, so this is why I realized this. I was on the wait list when OnePlus first came out as a company with the OnePlus One. And the OnePlus One was such a, so they were a small company. They were just getting started. They didn't have the resources to sell as many phones as they could. So they'd make a certain amount of phones and sell those, the ones that they had. And you had to get an invite to buy the phone from the company.
That's so like kind of like when Amazon first came out with Alexa.
Yeah.
That's interesting.
You had to get an invite. And I had an invite and I just didn't have enough money to buy it at that time.
Oh, that's heartbreaking.
Yeah, because it was super hard to get an invite. I was like, I woke up one morning, I looked at my emails. I got an invite to buy the OnePlus One, you know? And then I was like, I looked at my bank account. No!
Which is another, people a lot of time they talk, they're like, oh yeah, this is the absolute best tech you could buy right now.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, well, I don't have like $2,000 right now.
On that point, value and why I would buy the OnePlus 6T.
Mm-hmm.
Their philosophy has always been to put out the best performing phone, essentially a flagship, for half the price. That's been their whole philosophy, and they've stuck to it. So they have the OnePlus 6T. Guess what specs it comes with?
What are the specs?
Minimum memory storage, 128 gigabytes.
Minimum storage?
That's minimum. And guess how much that costs?
How much?
$570.
That's it. I mean, you can't buy that anywhere. Like
anywhere. That's literally half the price of an iPhone XS. Their upgraded version, which has 256 gigabytes.
They're just like, f*** it up with
$670.
Storage.
But I'm not finished yet. Guess about their RAM.
I'm going to guess 8 gigs, because that's just crazy.
8 gigs. So their lower one, their $570 one, 128 gigs of RAM and 128 gigs of memory and 6 gigs of RAM. Their $600 one, 256 gigs of memory, 8 gigs of RAM. Still $500, $400 less than all the other phones. Way more powerful. It has a Snapdragon 845. Mm-hmm. This phone is literally not going to get old. If you get the 8 gig version, you'll be using it 4 years from now.
And, I mean, that's insane. Which, RAM, also, for the Note is way more expensive.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the base one, I want to say, is 64.
Oh, with memory? Yeah, 64.
64. Yeah. With 8 gigs of RAM. Mm-hmm. But Samsung just goes crazy with RAM. Which
they really need it. Because if you think about the Note, it's doing a lot of, what's it called? Multi-app processing, or like working a lot of apps at the same time. Especially with their dual screen software, their picture-in-picture software. Or it's just really cool. You know, it's a really, it's a productivity app. I mean, productivity phone. So it kind of needs that.
It's absolutely, which is another thing, going back to the next bit real quick, is it has 3 gigabytes of RAM. Which, I mean, again, for a long time that wasn't a problem, but now I have my fitness device constantly uploading data to it. I listen to podcasts, I'll use maps.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, mm-hmm. it'll freeze a lot.
Mm-hmm.
I also forget to close apps, so I'll have like 50 apps running in the in the background.
So you'll never have that problem with the OnePlus 6T or even the Note 9. You can have as many apps running in the background as you want.
I want to like just get one of those phones just to see if I can make it crash.
I don't think I can. Yeah. I don't think you could. Android has gotten really good with optimization as well. keeping apps running, which apps to keep running. You can even go into the settings and choose which apps are allowed to stay running in the background. And I think that's really cool. They've always done that. That's why I love Android. There's so much customization available. I used to be huge into rooting phones and putting my own software on it because I used to be a Samsung guy. I had the S4 and then the Note 5, but I hated the Galaxy user interface. Their, what's it called? TouchWiz. I hated the TouchWiz UX. So I'd root the phone, put my own custom ROM on it. And most of the time, it used to be this thing called CyanEngine Mod because it was one of the only ROMs that emulated stock Google closely. And then finally, Google started putting out a stock Google ROM, you know, and I was very excited. But to alleviate all that, I just went over to Google Pixel.
And Nova Launcher, too. Like, I feel like a lot
Nova Launcher was really cool because you didn't even have to root your phone to use Nova Launcher.
Well, and a lot of the innovations in UI have come from Nova Launcher.
Yeah.
It's like one thing. Like,
Nova Launcher was really cool.
I'm super picky about how things look.
Yeah.
So with Nova Launcher, I'm able to make all of the apps the shape I want them to be.
Mm-hmm.
So they all look the same.
Right.
But I'm also able to normalize them.
Mm-hmm.
So if it's not like the normal app shape, then it puts it inside of this little like box.
That looks like the normal app shape, yeah.
That looks so, all my apps look so clean and so nice. It's just so, it looks so good.
I agree wholeheartedly. Those are the good days, essentially.
Yeah.
But I mean, it's good to see progress. Custom ROMs are kind of dwindling and becoming obsolete because manufacturers are starting to realize what we want in software. So it's good.
Which, and for a long time, like, Apple didn't let you, another thing with just like Android lets you be really finicky because like Apple didn't let you set tiers for notifications.
Yeah.
But in Android, you could set 5 levels of tiers.
Right.
Where it's like, okay, this tier, like, don't do it if I'm doing this, but like 5 level, like that's
location based notifications. Mm-hmm. Like that's so cool.
Although with Siri shortcuts now.
Mm-hmm.
So, one example of something that I heard is, I can't remember who it is off the top of my head, but some podcaster was talking about, they have Siri shortcuts set up on their phone for the airports they go to. So when they get to the airport, they
pulls up their ticket,
pulls out their ticket. It, pulls up a checklist of all the things they need to do, sends an email to their lawyer saying like, if I don't contact you in an hour and a half, then call this airport.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, I mean, in America, you can be detained at any airport for any reason indefinitely. And I'm like, that's insane. And that's location-based. You don't have to think about that. You just arrive and your phone does that.
I'm really excited to see where we are 20 years from now.
Well, I think, I mean, I'd be disappointed if we don't have VR to carry 20 years from now. Have you heard of Tap?
I have not.
So Tap is a keyboard that it looks like, it kind of looks a little bit like brass knuckles, but it also goes around your thumb.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a keyboard that you just like
move your fingers
with.
That is so cool.
So you have to learn a new method of typing. So like your fingers, like each finger is a different letter and like combinations are different letters.
But just think about walking around typing as you're walking.
Yeah.
Like, that'd be so cool.
Go
ahead.
Like right now, I don't have enough reason to buy it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's super cool, but
no. The time to buy it will be 5 to 10 years from now.
Well, when we have VR.
When we have VR fully integrated into society.
Because there's going to be, I mean,
people will be walking around seeing things. You'll be able to see everything while you're walking.
And you could just like have your Tap gloves and just like move them. Well, gloves isn't really the right term. But yeah, so that I think that's something like, maybe if they lower the price a little bit, then that's something I would check out just because I think that's something we're going to definitely be using.
Mm-hmm.
They also have a mouse mode, which it's arguably the most ergonomic mouse because it's just your hand.
Mm-hmm.
You turn it into mouse mode and you move your hand around like it's a mouse.
That's
and you
so
like
cool.
click. Oh, it's so cool.
I was watching, there's this guy called Linus Tech Tips and he just builds computers essentially. But he was just kind of doing a tour of his studio / warehouse. And he goes to this guy's computer and he has a neural connected, it's very early in development stage, but it just, you put it on your head and the electrodes, the rods, like just connect to your brain and kind of essentially sense your brain waves and what you're trying to do. It's very rudimentary, but like controlling your TV
cool.
with your brain would be really cool.
I mean, and not just that, there's a keyboard that does that.
Really?
But the problem right now is that it's, I think, one letter every 10 seconds.
Mm-hmm. That's slow. It'll get faster.
I mean, yeah, it'll get faster with time. But, I mean, just, like, you're thinking, you're like, K, and then it types a K.
Yeah. Just think about original typewriters and touch keyboards. That's the difference. From typing really slow to typing instantaneously.
right. Well, I mean, I think, is there anything else you want to talk about, or should we wrap this up?
We should probably wrap this up. I'm just going to try to think of some things I wanted to cover before we finish. Oh, new phones, difference between hardware and software. Google just came out with the Pixel 3, best camera, obviously. But Huawei, the little underdog, that's not really an underdog anymore, is coming out with some crazy hardware. Have you seen their new Mate 20 Pro or their P20 Pro?
I have not.
It has four cameras on the back and three on the front.
That's insane.
Four cameras. I really don't know what they're going to do with all of them. I mean, they have a telephoto, they have a monochrome, they have a wide angle, and then they have the regular one. But I'm just like, that's a lot of cameras.
That sounds kind of like what the Hydrogen Red should have been.
The Hydrogen should have been a much better camera. It's literally coming from one of the greatest camera companies ever.
Well, the company is really good at making the silicone part of it.
Yeah. And the software optimization, not very good.
Well, and they didn't make the camera for the phone.
They didn't? Who made it?
I don't remember who made it, but that's someone else's hardware.
That's so interesting.
Which is like...
I would not expect that.
That's the whole reason I feel like people wanted that phone.
Wanted to buy that phone. I mean, the holographic display is gimmicky. No one's going to use that right now. No one's going to use that. There's not going to be any use for a holographic display. And it's not anything new. The Nintendo 3DS had a holographic display 3 years ago. But I was really disappointed with that phone, I'm not gonna lie. It didn't look pretty either. It was a really ugly phone. And the software that they had on it, the user interface, really bad too. Should have been a much better phone. I really do want a Hydrogen Dragon though. I mean, what's this company called? The overall company?
Red.
I want a Red Dragon, the 8K camera. Because I do a lot of video and that's a really cool camera.
Oh yeah, I mean they still make the best cameras.
But as we're saying, yeah, very big disappointment in that aspect. It really should have been like the flagship camera phone coming from Red.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
But yeah, I just wanted to point on that. We'll dive into cameras on a different date. Very interested in those as well. So thank you for joining us this, I guess it's a morning.
I guess morning.
We woke up really early to do this. We had some good coffee here in Castle Rock. We're looking at the Castle Rock. It's a beautiful view.
Here in beautiful Colorado.
Colorado's amazing. If you've never been, you have to visit.
And
but we will catch you guys later.